And it's not necessarily about the teaching to an audience or your peers or anything else like that. It's about you actually internalizing it, really being able to digest what you've learned and share that with others. And again, there might only be two or three people. That's not even the big deal. That's not the point. The point is, man, if you can stand up and you can teach, that means you know all about that subject, that topic. And I think that would probably be the best way to say, listen, I have learned, I have grown in my professional skills.
Welcome to the BJU Press Teacher Edition podcast, where Christian educators are encouraged and inspired as we bring you interviews, practical ideas, strategies, and answer your questions about teaching in today's culture. And here's your host, Jenny Copeland.
Welcome back. It's time for part two of our conversation about professional development, and Andrew Brewer is back with us. Listeners, let me remind you once again to check our website, teachereditionpodcast.com, and find us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. If you missed out on part one of this conversation, you will want to swing back around and listen in. Andrew laid a great foundation for this topic, and he even shared his own personal story, as well as some insights on work-life balance and skills or qualities that are so needed to be successful as an educator. Building on that, I want to unpack more now, specifically in the area of professional development. Being an educator is a commitment. For those who are all in, it's a demanding career. It's busy days and preparation. It's often extra responsibilities, especially if you're at a Christian school. And in that busyness, professional development is often seen as an extra, and extras don't often happen. On the other side of this, often the motivation is not there. It can be easy for teachers to feel like they know the basics or they've always done it that way. They're very comfortable, and so they're not motivated to learn and grow. And wait for it, they're not motivated to change. Professional development takes time and adjusting your instruction or your classroom, and that takes time and effort. So it's easier to just leave professional development behind and keep doing what we've always done. You know, I've heard it said many times that we cannot skip the learning and jump to the teaching. And I think there's so much packed into that one statement. Andrew, what do you see as reasons for professional development? Why should we make it a priority?
Well, let's take something that you've talked about already in the intro to the first half of this. And when we look for people that we want to serve us, we're going to check them out on their ratings. We're going to make sure that they have all of the degrees on the wall. You want your mechanic ACSI certified. I don't even know what that is, right? We want the certifications. We want to make sure these people know what they're doing. But if I could take this a negative spin first, which often is my tendency, what happens if you don't grow? There's a famous story attributed to Jack Welch of GE fame, probably early 80s. And I think it was his CFO, his chief financial officer, who said, "What happens if we invest in the lives of our people, but then they leave us?" He's thinking financial drain on the company and it's walking out the door. The retort from Jack Welch is a classic move. He says, "What happens if we don't train them and they stay?" And so I think that if we have this mindset of I'm good enough where I'm at and I don't need to grow and change, we're going to get stagnant. So as teachers, we look at our students, we want them to get better. As coaches, we look at our players, we want them to get better. Why wouldn't we want the same for ourselves? To throw another quote at you, I think it was John Maxwell who said, "Change is inevitable, but growth is optional." And to me, what I'm hearing Maxwell say is things will happen around me, and it's my choice to participate in them or not. I can jump in and change myself, but it's really on me. Everything else is going to change anyway. So I think it's pretty clear for us there in that idea of change and growing. Let me just throw one more anecdote. I was pretty excited as a kid when I passed my mom in height. That wasn't hard. She was 5'2". So it was honestly about fourth grade, third grade, somewhere in there. But it was even a cooler day when I passed my dad, who was 6'2". And I'm now about 6'3". Well, my son passed me a couple of years ago and he's 6'5". I mean, that was the just the top of the peak for him. he loved being able to stand over his mom, put his chin on her head, and just say, "Hey, mom, how's the weather down there?" Right? All of those anecdotes to say that change is going to happen. Change is around us everywhere. And if we're not going to get better, we're going to be stagnant.
So with the technology around us, the ease of travel, and with so many educational professionals coming from many different angles, it can be daunting to hone in on really good resources for professional development. Even if you wanted to take the next step and learn, where do you even start? So Andrew, I wondered, have you found some good resources and could you share them with us all for professional development?
Yeah. I think of a couple different venues, both free and paid. So the one that really got me going personally was probably 2011, 2012, when Twitter, now X, really just exploded all over the place. And there were these things called Twitter chats, and they were organized around a hashtag. Now, me being the super savvy teacher, I had to ask my kids what on earth these things were. I had no clue. What's a hashtag?
Great strategy. Good strategy.
We grew up with a pound symbol, meaning how heavy something was. And so that took me a while to figure out myself. But I got onto a couple of Tuesday night, Thursday night, and regular chats about geometry and Algebra 1 and even pre-calculus. There was one about seventh grade math, and I just became a regular participant. But then after a couple of weeks, then I actually just became a regular contributor with A, my own story, but B, my own ideas, bouncing them off of other people. And they were organized pretty easily. It was a 30-minute time slot, an hour time slot. There were usually six questions, and there were easy tech ways to organize yourself, but it was free. It didn't cost me anything to sit down at 8 o'clock at night with my laptop and just follow along and listen to what other people are saying, mostly public, but there were some private school teachers in there as well. So that was huge. That was huge. That was free, and I didn't get any CEUs out of the deal, but in a way, that was probably a better thing because, I don't know, we all know how it is when CEUs are involved. We may not necessarily pay attention. We're just going to fly through it to get it done. I think the second thing that really changed my life was I got involved in a mastermind. And maybe people who are big podcast enthusiasts in the educational sphere know of a guy named Daniel Bauer. Danny Bauer was a school teacher in Chicago turned middle school principal in Houston, Texas. He had a struggle in the building leadership there, and he decided to leave education altogether, and he got married. He ended up in, I think of all places, Belgium. That's like the other side of the world from here. But in all of that, he started a podcast, and I think that's a great place to learn, like the Teacher Edition podcast. Please subscribe, like, and review. But also, he started something called a mastermind. And what that was a 1 hour every week with 8 to 10 individuals. Danny was in charge of ours, and he was in charge of a couple others. But we rotated. We got to talk about our wins for the week. We got to read professionally together and chit-chat and talk and argue and debate about the stuff we were reading about. And the last 20 minutes were always reserved for one particular person, and it was called the hot seat. And that particular person got to bring a problem, a difficult issue to the forefront. And for 20 minutes, that person just got idea after idea after idea. And so, you know, only one out of 8 weeks or 10 weeks, I was on the hot seat. But each week I was learning from everyone else who might have had a similar problem or not, but some of their ideas might have worked for me in my own practice as I led a school as well. So I don't know, between those two, and then obviously just reading, right? There's tons of stuff. We could go on. We all have probably teacher conventions we're a part of. There's great opportunities in the summer to jump in on different professional development platforms and programs. I don't know. I just think there are so many ways to learn and to grow that there really isn't much of an excuse to get some of that done.
Yeah. In this day and age with all the technology and just easy access to so much, it is so easy. And I loved you pointed out, first of all, the connection with other educators, you know, and that can just be a shot in the arm just to hear, oh, they're going through what I'm going through. And how did you handle that? Great idea. That is a way we can grow. We don't have to just search out someone with a PhD who can give us lots of philosophy and theology. There is so much that you can learn just from one another. So I like that you pointed out that collaborative element. And I love the ideas of doing it when you have time. Now, I know, you know, your Twitter interaction there, you had certain times you might meet, but so many things are available these days for when you have time, like podcasts. And I have not been someone who walks around with my headphones in all the time listening to podcasts day and night. But boy, when it's like, I have a minute, I'm going to be vacuuming or painting or driving. And it's like, I can just tune in and have a little teacher's convention right then as I listen. So just so many opportunities. Now, you mentioned summer. So I know that summer's a reprieve for teachers. They see it as a time to do what they weren't able to do all school year, like travel or sleep in or maybe clean their house. But what about professional development? Because they say there isn't time during the school year to do professional development. So that means they can do that in the summer. Talk to us about your thoughts about summer and professional development.
Well, and then let's also kind of track backwards to what you said. And you're right, there isn't time during the school year. And so I think truthfully, that's on leaders to create time.
Exactly.
Our school is not necessarily in a situation where we can take the Wednesday afternoon off like a lot of schools tend to do, maybe once a month. I'd love to do that. I don't know if our constituency could handle that kind of a shift. But I don't know that it's necessarily fair to force people to learn in the summer. But that's the situation we're in for many of us, especially in the Christian school realm. We don't have a lot of time off during the school year. Those days that we have off, for instance, we have a state basketball tournament tomorrow in our building. We're asking all of our teachers to come in and be security, door guards, bathroom monitors. The list just goes on. So I think summer ends up, unfortunately, being a really good time. Because when you get back from teachers' convention in October and you're pumped full of ideas, you hit the ground running that next Monday, you don't have time to implement all the things that you just learned. And that stinks because there's a lot of good things. So in the summertime, you've got institutes all over. You've got book clubs you could be a part of. You've got BJU Press and Precept Marketing jumping out and saying, hey, listen, we've got this wonderful opportunity for you to learn about biblical integration. We'd love to host you in super fanciful place here in America. You guys are awesome about that. There are, again, institutes all over the place. Maybe your school has some funds for that. Sometimes it's going to cost. I know the AACS does summer learning sessions. I know the BJU Press does I can't remember what it's called, Jenny. What's it called when you guys do?
Exchange Conference.
Exchange Conference. Yes. I'm not being paid to say any of these things, I promise. But I have been to some of these things, and they're awesome. Not just for the content, but I am really learning at the age of 46 that sometimes the best part of the conference isn't actually going to a session.
That's right.
And I know that everyone who has taught a session, me included, and Jenny, you have too, is probably pretty mad at that moment. Like, whoa, how dare you say that? But I think the opportunity to network and learn from other people that are not in your school and maybe one or two states away who might be fighting the same problem and are kind of winning, that's pretty cool. And there's no session, there's no programming for that. So I think there's just a wealth of opportunity. There's a wealth of things you can do. I have a bookshelf behind me, which is full of books. I've got business books, I've got Bible books, I've got educational books, but less than half, maybe only about a third of my books are educational related. I've got books from a guy named Cal Newport who wrote about deep work, which taught me that I have a finite amount of willpower, and that becomes depleted as I use it. And so I learned to automate decisions. In the classroom, for me, that meant if you stuck your hand up and you used the sign language symbol for T in a tissue, I'm going to give you a thumbs up. You don't have to ask, sure, can I go get a tissue? And it was just easy. That took less brain power than listening to the question. I know that sounds dumb, but
it's true though.
But it just, it
automating is so important.
It just made it a whole lot easier. Yeah. Because every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Every time you're listening to a question means you have less time to do something else. I learned from a couple of guys who write business books in a leadership fable style. So Patrick Lencioni, and two guys, John David Mann and Bob Burke, they both write leadership books, but they write them in stories. These are leadership fables. And I'm not a great reader, But when it's a story that weaves a leadership theme throughout that I get to kind of pick up on, and at the end they kind of tell me, okay, this is what you should have learned, man, it's a whole lot easier to read a 120-page book that's a story with a theme in it than a 250-page business book or even an educational book sometimes.
Yeah, so true. And agreed. I know that we don't want to force people to learn in the summer, but those who do have a mentality to grow, I mean, that is a great time. It's a great time for gathering ideas and really just having time to focus on learning without having to get a sub or answer parent emails while you're listening or grading papers or all those fun things that happen during the school year while you're trying to learn. There are always those independent learning opportunities, but there are, like you said, so many conferences as well during the summer. So many organizations have begun really making those available. And I participated in several technology conferences, you know, live webinars and other workshops over the summer. And I know you mentioned it briefly, and I want to, since we're talking about the summer, just remind our listeners about the Exchange Conference. And it is, for those who may not know, it's a three-day educator conference. It's held right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and it's hosted by BJU Press. And hundreds of teachers come together from around the country, around the world. We've had those come internationally. And we also, you know, they join in online as well. It's just a fantastic conference. The sessions have great variety. And like you said, though, the fellowship is fantastic. I love sessions, but I do love networking with other educators. And I think we've all been to conferences where the atmosphere is pretty dead. That's not this one. The vibe is very lively and everyone's engaged and learning from the sessions, but also from each other. So listeners, if you haven't checked out the Exchange Conference, you can get more information on our website. So go to bjupress.com/exchange. I'll also include the link in the show notes so you'll have that quick reference. And don't forget, BJU Press also has a professional development site as well. And we have about 70 different workshops. You can listen in. They're about 50 to 60 minutes. There's a short quiz and you get a certificate saying that you attended that workshop. So just a couple different resources there from BJU Press. But I do love the idea of checking out what's available in the summer where you can tune in and not worry about all that's going on at school. Andrew, you provided some great ideas and you challenged us in the area of professional development. I wondered about any closing thoughts you have for our listeners, maybe a final challenge for them, not only as educators, but also learners.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I think if we were to try to wrap this up, I think the best form of professional development, or if you want to change it to the phrase professional learning, I think the best form is teaching. And this came to me even as recently as about two Wednesday nights ago. Our church has these Wednesday night classes specifically to help us grow in our own faith or deepen our Bible study or learn and explore new avenues of opportunity. And one of them was taught by my history teacher, and it was about how to study your Bible. And it was the intro class. And the question at the end was, well, hey, what's the best way for you to study your Bible? What's the best way for you to learn more about your Bible? And he paused and he said, you know, the best way for me is to teach it, is to take time to study it, to dive into it, but then to be able to give it back to other people. And I've said many times to the staffs that I've worked with that when you get to your Christian School Educators Convention, whatever that happens to be, and by the third or fourth or fifth year, you're kind of bored with all the content, that's actually time for you to stand up and say, hey, listen, I'll teach something. And it's not necessarily about the teaching to an audience or your peers or anything else like that. It's about you actually internalizing it, really being able to digest what you've learned and share that with others. And again, there might only be two or three people. That's not even the big deal. That's not the point. The point is, man, if you can stand up and you can teach, that means you know all about that subject, that topic. And I think that would probably be the best way to say, listen, I have learned, I have grown in my professional skills.
Great advice. It's a good challenge. And listeners, if you haven't put together something to share, even if you just share it with your grade level or share it with your division, elementary, middle school, high school, whatever you may be, do that. I love that recommendation, Andrew. That's so fantastic. And we often think, oh, I couldn't share, I couldn't talk. Study it and then share your passion with other educators. You know, we need to be laser focused on giving our students what is best. And if we aren't learning and growing and teaching, how can we know what is best? As we started this conversation in part one, we talked about how it would be unacceptable for a surgeon to not be learning and growing, just to graduate and continue to do whatever he thinks is best for his patients. No, we would expect him to be reading and researching, attending conferences, and giving us the very best treatment and care. You know, our students deserve even better. And more than that, our Lord deserves our best. So growing in Him and growing as educators are just so important. Andrew, it's been great having you on the show. You've given us so much to think about, and I really appreciate all that you shared today.
Thank you, Jenny. It's been a blast hanging out with you, and I hope your listeners get a lot of good things, not just out of this, but all of your podcasts.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you were challenged and encouraged as I was. Remember to go to teachereditionpodcast.com to submit questions for our upcoming episodes. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Now, it's time to get back to your day. But it's not just any day. Every day in the classroom is your day to impact and inspire through God's power and through His grace working in you. Now go do what God has called you to do.